Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast. This is Pastor Mike with the Aliante Community Baptist Church. We invite you, your family, and friends to join us as we study God's Word. So, let's begin.
Thank you, Ms. Ginger. So beautiful.
Indeed.
Indeed. Well, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. We're going to be looking, hopefully, at two chapters today. Chapters 44 and 45. The truth is revealed. We've been studying the life of Joseph. And you'll recall that Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery into Egypt. And they were jealous of Joseph, their brother Joseph, because God had blessed him with the ability to interpret dreams. And in those very special dreams that he had, it showed his brothers bowing down before him, and even his whole family basically bowing down before him. And you'll recall that his father favored him. Jacob loved his son Joseph, and it had a special coat, a coat of many colors made for Joseph. And so he was a very highly favored son in the eyes and in the heart of Jacob, his father. But his brothers grew to basically to hate him. And they sold him into slavery. And last week we looked at how his brothers had come up from Canaan because of the famine. They went into Egypt. And didn't realize that the man that they spoke with there in Egypt, the prime minister of Egypt, was their brother that they had sold into slavery some 20 plus years before. And he kept Simeon, you'll recall, and sent them back home. And now they were to come back But they had to come back with their brother Benjamin. And so we pick up the story in chapter 44 and verse 1. You'll recall that Jacob finally gave in. And he said, well, if it must be, it must be. And Jacob was crying, you know, poor me. Why did you even have to tell the man that you had a younger brother? But he gave in, and so they took Benjamin, and they went back to Egypt the second time. And so we pick up the story there. Verse 1 in chapter 44. And he, that is Joseph, commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money. So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. When they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one that is the cup from which my Lord drinks, and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing. So he overtook them and spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he searched. He began with the oldest, and left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there. And they fell before him on the ground, and Joseph said to them, what deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Then Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. But he said, that is Joseph, said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father. Then Judah came near to him and said, oh, my Lord, please, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing. And do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. Pardon me. So it was when he went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces. And I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. We'll stop here for right now. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this beautiful story. Such a wonderful story of love and forgiveness. A story of grace and compassion, a story of provision, of foresight. Oh Lord, help us to see and to recognize all that you're teaching. You are our teacher, O Lord. By God the Holy Spirit, who gives us understanding, to the honor and to the glory of the Lord Jesus, help us to learn the tremendous lesson. The lessons contained in this story, in this passage of your word, that we might apply those truths to our lives, that we might make a difference, a positive difference in the kingdom of God and within the communities and within our families, O Lord. Positive influence for good, drawing people to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the truth is revealed. Now this story, the story of Joseph and his brothers and family, is one of the most beautiful stories in all of Scripture. It's a story of grace. It's a story of mercy, of compassion. But it's also a story of hatred and anger and selfishness. It's a story that is filled with lies and the imprisonment of someone who is innocent. You'll recall that Joseph went through a tremendous amount of anguish. For not only did his brothers rip that coat off of him and throw him down into a pit, initially, Judah, this one here who is interceding on behalf of Benjamin, Judah was the one who said, when they saw their brother coming, here comes that dreamer. Why don't we kill him and see what comes of those dreams? And they stripped that coat off, they put him in the pit, and then they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who took him down to Egypt, and he was sold to Potiphar. And you'll recall that the Lord, the Bible says, but the Lord was with him. But the Lord was with Joseph. And he blessed Joseph even in the house of Potiphar, and he became the head servant. But he was good looking and well built and all of that. And Potiphar's wife, she was putting the moves on Joseph. But Joseph was a man of integrity, a young man of integrity. And day after day after day, she attempted to seduce him. And then eventually, because he wouldn't, she accused him of attempting to rape her. And so he was put in prison. But again, the Bible says that the Lord was with him, and he blessed him in the prison. He became the head prisoner. And you remember the baker and the butler who were placed into the prison, and they had dreams, and Joseph was able to interpret those dreams, and they came true according to the interpretation. And Pharaoh had dreams, and he interpreted those dreams. And you know the story about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And the famine was so great that it went beyond the boundaries of Egypt into the other countries. And it touched the family of Jacob. And so the brothers find themselves in Egypt, unaware that this one that they're bowing before is none other than their brother, Joseph. Now notice, Joseph's brothers are sent on their way, as we began chapter 44. And they're given full sacks and all their money. You'll recall they sold him as a slave. And so what does Joseph do? He gives them back their money. He gives them their money and he gives them full sacks of grain. He treats them with tremendous grace. He gives them what they don't deserve. And then once again, they're tested. Now, you might think that this is cruel. What he did to them was somewhat cruel. But he was putting them through these tests to determine whether or not their hearts had actually changed. There are a lot of people who cry out, "Lord, Lord," right? Isn't that what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? There will be many who will say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? And didn't we do this in your name? And did this and did this?" And the Lord said, "But I will say unto them, depart from me. I never knew you." Joseph was putting his brothers through the test. And so the cup, he had placed that cup, or had the cup placed in his youngest brother, Benjamin's sack. And of course, that's where they found the cup. Now, when you read this, you wonder, they were so confident that they were innocent that they said, "Well, wherever the cup is found, let that one be killed, and the rest of us will become slaves." Because they were so confident. But let that be a lesson. And the lawyers will tell you, if you're ever in court, let your lawyer do the speaking. All right? Let the lawyer do the speaking for you, because without realizing it, you will incriminate yourself. But the cup was found there in Benjamin's son. So they bring them back, and of course, Judah, we see a changed man. Judah falls down before Joseph and he pleads with Joseph on behalf of Benjamin. He intercedes. And what is he doing? He's pleading. And what do when we pray? Do we not plead with the Lord? And notice he pleads on behalf of his brother Benjamin and on behalf of his father Jacob. He says, "Surely if Benjamin doesn't go back home, it will kill our father." Now you can imagine what's going through Joseph's heart, because Jacob is his father too. His father, whom he hasn't seen for well over 20 plus years. And you can imagine the emotion. It was my honor to serve as an honor guard some 51 years ago over Travis Air Force Base. It was called Operation Homecoming, when the POWs were brought home from Vietnam. And several of us were selected to serve as honor guard, and I had the privilege of being one of those. And some 200, I believe it was 251, came to Travis. I think there were 591 altogether. And since that time, many, many others have come. But men who had been held captive in prisons in Vietnam and Thailand and the rest, who had come home, who thought they'd never make it home, and their families who thought they'd never see their loved one again. And the emotion, and the weeping, and the fulfillment of the desire to come home and to see your family and to embrace once again, beyond words. You can't describe it. Last year they celebrated the 50th anniversary of that homecoming. Well, you can imagine the emotion in Joseph's heart. He'd been sold away from his family. And here Judah is pleading. He's pleading with Joseph. His heart had changed, and he was genuinely concerned for Benjamin and for Jacob, to the point that he was willing to give up his own life now and become a slave so that his brother, Benjamin, could be free. And so, here in verse 1 of chapter 45, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, making everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Can you imagine? I am Joseph. Just very simple. There wasn't all this fanfare, etc. Just very simply said, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. And the English doesn't give quite what is communicated in the Hebrew. The words that are used in the Hebrew mean, come close to me in a very personal, intimate way, to look at me and see that I am your brother Joseph. This isn't a trick. To come close to me, close enough to touch and to embrace me. They were dismayed at his presence, and Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry, for you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So shall you tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Joseph is overcome with emotion, and understandably so. Again, I like what Charles Swindoll says. In this particular moment here, Joseph becomes again a boy, desiring to see his daddy that he hasn't seen for some 20-something years. And to be a part of the family once again. And he held no anger or bitterness towards his brothers, but love, and the tears that he wept were tears of joy, tears of release. Finally, the truth had been made known. This also serves as a foreshadowing a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Joseph is a type, as we study the various typologies in the scripture. Joseph serves as a type of Christ. You see, because the day is coming when Jesus Christ will return. And when he returns, he's going to reveal himself to his Jewish brethren. The Jewish brethren who have rejected him and gave him up for dead. When he returns, the Bible teaches, at the end of the tribulation, he will come and he will deliver Israel, the Messiah. And they're going to recognize and they're going to weep. But when they say, "What are these wounds in your hands and in your side and in your feet?" And he's going to say, "These are the wounds that I received in the house of my friends." And they're going to realize all this time that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God, the Messiah. There is no other Messiah. And he comes to deliver them. And the Bible says they're going to weep as a parent weeps for their only child, because they're going to recognize and realize all this time that he had been the Messiah and was rejected by his own people. Joseph weeps and he weeps and he weeps because finally the truth has been made known. And he asks, "Is my father alive?" Joseph's brothers are stunned, to say the least. They're in a state of shock. They can't speak. And why? Because guilt, that guilt was gnawing at their heart. And he could see it on their face. He could see it in their person. But what does he do? He puts them at ease. He's forgiven. He deals with them magnanimously and gracefully. He had fully forgiven them. The spiritual discernment, he realized that it was God who had brought him to Egypt. Because God was saving Jacob's family. God was fulfilling his covenant promise to Abraham. And so he tells his brothers, "God has made me Lord of all Egypt. He's made me a father to Pharaoh. And I will provide for you." Now, do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? You see, here was Joseph. He had Pharaoh. The Lord Jesus said to the disciples, "I go to my Father. And if I go, I shall," what? "Come again. I will come again and take you to be with me so that you will be together with me where I am." What does Joseph tell his brothers here? "Go and bring my father and all of the family so that you can be with me and I will prepare a place for you. You will live and you will dwell with me and everything that you need will be provided for you." Isn't that what Jesus does for us? You see the foreshadow here? You see the story? You see how all of this works together? It's so beautiful and so wonderful. He tells them, "Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves." He exemplifies the work of grace wrought by God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son and applied by God the Holy Spirit in the life of sinners. Because that's what we are. And we don't deserve the grace. We don't deserve the forgiveness and the love. And the love of God is indescribable. And aren't you glad that he loves us anyway? Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven and has all authority and power. And Joseph, he sat at the right hand of Pharaoh and had all authority and power. Lord of all Egypt. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing picture of how God works. And he tells them, 5 more years of famine, but don't worry, I will take care of you. But his brothers are still stunned. Why? Because they're convicted. Convicted of sin. And no one can come to know Christ as Savior unless they experience the conviction of God the Holy Spirit in their lives. Convicted of the fact that they are, in fact, a sinner who needs to be forgiven. No one can come to know the salvation that God offers without being convicted by God the Holy Spirit and drawn to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God the Holy Spirit who convicts the heart, the soul, the mind, and enables the individual to realize, yes, they need Christ, that Jesus died on that cross for them, that he rose from the grave for them, that he loves them and they need him. And here they stood convicted before their brother. But what does he do? Come near to me. Come near to me. And he embraces them and he weeps and he kisses them. Jesus desires to embrace us. Oh, imagine to embrace us and to give us the heavenly loving kiss of a heart filled with love, a love beyond description. That's Jesus. Then he says, go up to my Father. And the Father has given the Lord Jesus a name that is above every name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, all should bow and declare him Lord to the glory of God the Father. He says, you go up and you tell my Father of all the glory that God has given to me here in the land of Egypt. And so, verse 9, hurry up and go to my Father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. For there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, verse 16, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods. I think in the old King James it has the word stuff. For the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. And that word troubled actually means, see that you don't argue with each other. Don't fuss with each other. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, And when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." Here, Joseph. Joseph gives the promise to his brothers that God sent him before to save all of them. God the Father sent his Son into the world that we might be saved. The Son comes, and the Father makes the decree, like Pharaoh made the decree to take the carts, and he says, "Don't worry about your stuff. Don't worry about your stuff. I'm going to give you the best of all of Egypt." God the Father sent his Son into this world to save the human race. And he says, "Don't worry about your stuff. I give you the treasures of heaven." The treasure himself is none other than his Son, the Lord Jesus. The relationship that we have with him is the greatest treasure. His love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion, his desire for us, his watch care, his provision. But we and our stuff get in the way, do we not? Yes, Pharaoh makes the decree, like God the Father makes the decree. "Those who accept my Son, I justify. I declare them acceptable. I declare them forgiven forever." That's a hard concept for so many people to grasp. God forgives us forever. Now, there are some who teach that you can lose your salvation. That's not what the Bible teaches. How can something be forever? How can something be eternal if you can lose it? It wouldn't be eternal. It would be temporal. But the gift of salvation is eternal.
Amen.
God's love for us, tremendous. Well, what do we learn? What do we learn? Events and or circumstances are not always as they seem to be on the surface. Don't believe all that stuff they tell you on TV. Don't believe all that stuff that you hear in the news. Don't believe all the stuff that those politicians tell you. Because they're masters at deception. And one of the things that they've mastered is they've mastered the art of using emotion to lull people into, or away from, I should say, rational, logical thinking. And sadly, in our country, many people vote emotionally and not logically. Events and their circumstances are not always as they seem to be on the surface. That's why God's people need to be spiritually discerning. Joseph could have had every single one of his brothers slain. He could have waved that accusing finger, huh? When was the last time you did that? Because you felt that it was your right to do so, pointing out the faults of everyone else. You like to do that? You like to point out the faults? You like to nitpick others? You need to understand something. If you do that kind of stuff, there's something wrong with you. Because notice, Joseph didn't go telling everybody about what his brothers did. And he didn't throw it back into their face. He didn't do that. He wept. And he embraced them and he kissed them, he forgave them. And he said, "It wasn't you. It was God working through that circumstance." Intercessory prayer. Judah, his heart was changed. Now, instead of wanting his brother to be harmed, he was willing to give up his own freedom and his own life. Intercessory prayer ought to be a part of every believer's life. It's a responsibility and a privilege to pray on behalf of other people, to pray for missionaries, to pray for people within our own families, that they'll come to know the Lord as their Savior. Compassionate forgiveness reveals the nature of God. That is what agape is, a self-sacrificing love. I've told you this many times, I'll continue to tell it. You share Christ with your children. You share Christ with your grandchildren and with your great-grandchildren. And you continue, no matter how upset or impatient they become, or how they may fuss and argue with you, you continue to tell them about the Lord. Because you don't know, but the day may come when you pass from this life and go on into heaven, and some days later, or weeks, or months, or years later, they come to know the Lord as their Savior as a result of you continuing to tell them and to pray for them. I've told you about Pastor John Newton, the one who wrote Amazing Grace, that song. He was an Englishman. He was a slave trader, and his mother was a Christian. But when she died, when she went home to be with the Lord, his heart, his life was so impacted, his heart was so broken, that he gave his heart to the Lord and became a pastor of a Baptist church in England. And he wrote that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Compassionate forgiveness reveals the nature of God. And God can restore broken relationships. I know of people who say, you know, they refuse to forgive their brother or their sister or their mother or their father or their aunt or whoever, their neighbor, this or that. They refuse to forgive. God's people are supposed to be forgiving people, patient and loving. Say, well, what he did is unforgivable. No, it isn't. It isn't. Look at what they did to their brother. They sold him into slavery. They were going to kill him. Yet he forgave. He forgave. And if you want to know the power of God in your life, then you must learn to forgive. I thank God for my father. For as a boy, he taught me the importance of forgiveness. We would sit there in his nursery and we would talk, and he would tell me how important it was to forgive. He said, so many people refuse to forgive, and because they refuse to forgive, they fill their lives with bitterness and hatred and anger, and they become unhealthy, and they're miserable people, and they make everyone else around them miserable. Don't be one of those people. Learn to forgive. It is the nature of God to forgive. God has everything under control because God is sovereign. Now, if there's someone in your life, someone who's hurt you and treated you poorly, there are all kinds of experiences that we go through, and we've all had those. Guess what? God wants us to forgive those people. God wants us to forgive. You want to know the power of God? You want God to answer your prayers? You see, so many people, Christians, believers, go through life and they have a very weak prayer life. Why? Because they're filled with so much bitterness and an unforgiving spirit. Learn this lesson well. You will not know the real power of God in your life if you harbor an unforgiving spirit. God's people are to be forgivers, lovers, those who show compassion, genuinely caring for others. Is your hatred more important than the salvation of another human being? You see, because when you harbor those feelings toward other people, that's what you're saying. That your hatred is more important than their life. Well, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. The invitation is God's invitation to you. God's invitation to you. God the Holy Spirit speaking to you, to your heart, to your mind, to your spirit. Now, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, now is the time to accept Him, to be honest with yourself and with Him, to admit that you're a sinner and you need Him in your life, and come to Him through a simple act of faith in prayer. Lord Jesus, save me. Save me. Forgive me. And He will. Maybe you accepted the Lord, but you've not followed in believer's baptism. Come and commit and be baptized. He commands us to be baptized. And a public profession of faith in Him as our Lord and Savior. Or maybe to join His church and to serve. And if you're harboring that bitterness towards someone, confess it. Confess it, give it to Him, and forgive that person. Let's stand, please, as we sing. I need Thee every hour. You come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, for those who are struggling with decisions, we all need to make a decision. Turn our lives over to You, we pray. Help those who need to accept Jesus to pray, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior, my Lord, and forgive me. For those who need to recommit their lives, that they'll do so. Oh, Father, we thank You for the life of Joseph. We thank You for the lessons from Your holy word. Speak and touch each life as only You can. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We pray that you have been blessed by today's lessons from God's Word, and we invite you to contact us with any questions that you may have, especially questions regarding your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to help you with your walk of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and with your understanding of His holy word, the Bible. Our contact information is listed in the podcast show notes. May God richly bless you.